Hey, Cleaning Nation, Natalie here, welcoming you to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. Today's episode is the second half of the last episode featuring Stephen Code, founder of AMC Commercial Cleaning. We left off with Mike and Stephen discussing how he grew from a one-man show to over 750 locations. In today's episode, they talk strategy and what you can implement in your cleaning business for the most success. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Well, I think as far as the wage level goes, our wages for a part-time cleaner here are so much higher than what you guys experience in the States. It costs us to put an employed cleaner on a site $29 an hour.
Goodness. And that's, of course, is that Australian or what currency are we talking about?
It's Australian dollars. But
got it.
We have... You know, I think last time I looked over there, you guys, you know, considerably less than that. So our margins are very tight too because of those sort of cost factors. So if we've got employed cleaners on sites, we've got to be very efficient at how we do things. So we spend a lot of time making sure that the franchisees who often employ people have got the best technology they possibly can have.
So yeah, tell me about that, because we obviously I don't know the degree, but we certainly feel like it's very price sensitive here, and I get a lot of owners coming to me like, man, there's just these lowball bidders, and they do the job for nothing. How do I compete? I would imagine with your setup, you've got as much or more overhead as probably anybody. How do you compete on price? Kind of when you have all this you've got all this infrastructure you got to pay.
We have the same issue. We have the same issues here. You know, cowboy operators that come in and they've just picked up a mop and bucket, and they'll be going to a client and sort of saying, well, you know, we'll do your cleaning for $20 an hour. Where the reality is, if we're not getting $35 an hour, we can't make a dollar out of it. It's the same issue. What you have to do is be able to look. I think the basic rule that we all learn in business or in sales is don't sell on price. You know, to be able to sell on what you can offer that client. Rather than just on prices is where we have to be, because otherwise we'd never compete with the smaller stuff because, you know, the cowboy operators will come in and undercut us.
Okay. And I love that. Don't compete on price. And I feel like that's a mantra I repeat every 9 seconds. And again, I'm just playing devil's advocate because I want to make sure I'm the voice for Cleaning Nation out there listening. So they're all screaming at the radio or their podcast or their phone, wherever they're listening on. Well, then what do I compete on? What do I talk about, right? If all they want to talk about is price, how do I change the conversation into something meaningful to my customer that's not price?
Well, look, what we do is, and I'll often say to a potential, or I did say to potential clients when I was out selling, is, you know, if you just want to clean a hire your own. It's not what we do. What we do is we manage the cleaning function for your building. That's what we do. So what we will do is we'll come in, we'll make sure that the cleaning is being done to the specification that you want, and we'll manage that whole process. So you're basically getting from us a facilities management company that will look after that process for you. So we're not... Cleaning, anyone can hire a cleaner, but that's not what we do. So I think we've got to have the right sort of quality standards in place. So we have the accreditations, the international accreditations for safety, for quality, for environmental. And I think those sort of things that we spend a lot of money on help us as well.
So it sounds to me like you're clear on what you do and don't do. So many times... Our customers want to tell us, listen, just clean the toilet for $20 an hour. And that's not what you get, that's not what you do. You provide a solution, not dollars for hours.
Yeah, well, I think you often find that some clients only want their toilets cleaned once a fortnight or once a week. Fortnight, you guys don't do a fortnight. Once a week, that's really not our bag. We know what our market is, and we work very hard on our market. And we compete. I suppose we can compete against the smaller operators that are going to do that stuff for $20 an hour, because we do big national chains of retail stores and medical centres and things that those people are going to undercut you. generally can't handle, and the clients don't want them anyway. What clients really want is the management of that process, which is what we do.
So what I hear you saying is part of the process in terms of making sure you get good margins, it starts with picking the right customer. If you pick the right customer, there's no sales process that can overcome a guy that just wants a cleaner once a week for the cheapest price.
Exactly. You've got to be able to pick your clients. And, you know, when I looked at some of the stuff in the States when we were over there earlier this year in San Francisco, you know, you've got some massive, I think someone was telling me that the American Postal Service has something like 30,000 outlets around the country. Now, they're never going to sell, or they're never going to take a two-bit operator who really doesn't have the management processes in place to give them the sort of support that they're looking for.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing, and I just want to, not that Stephen hasn't been clear about this, but Cleaning Nation, I don't want you to miss it, is you hear him not begging for anybody that'll wave a dollar in his face to say, oh, I got to come out there and chase this thing. He's very clear on, I'm looking for the customers that understand the value that I bring, instead of going to the two-bit operator that's just got a little showroom or a little this or that and wants to spend a couple $100 a month and trying to twist his arm into seeing the value that Stephen provides. He's going to the big companies that get it, right? The larger companies that are maybe national or regional and have 30 offices, they're just like, I wouldn't even talk with one of these local operators because they can't handle my needs. So instead of trying to convince the wrong person that you're the guy, it sounds like you spend more time finding the right person and having an intelligent conversation with them.
Look, you really, Mike, you can't compete with everybody. So you really need to understand your market. And you're exactly right. An organization with 30 sites around two or three states is not going to deal with, you know, a two-bit operator. What they want is consistency in the performance. They want a central point of invoicing. They want a central point of contact. So if they've got some complaints about, I don't know, a site in California or a site in Washington State, they know where to go to. So you're not going to compete with a little, a little retail site down the road where they've got one building and they're looking for the cheapest price. It just doesn't work.
So Cleaning Nation, I don't want you to get discouraged and hear Stephen go, well, yeah, but he's doing a bunch of revenue and he's got all this money. I can't possibly compete. What I really hear him saying is you could also make the argument he can't compete with you because you can do it for so much cheaper because he's got layers of overhead. So the difference isn't who's right or who's wrong. It's just Stephen knows I have to sell to this kind of customer to make money. And if I try and sell to another customer, it's not going to be a good fit. They're not going to be happy with us. We're certainly not going to be happy with them. So I'm just going to go get my people. So don't get overwhelmed and just hear, well, Stephen's got that. I can't compete here. He's very clear on the customer that he needs to sell to make money. And that's who he sells to. And I'm guessing, Stephen, when you started, you had a whole different customer set. It wasn't like you started day one with these folks. You started with the smaller people, no?
I did, and we still have smaller people. We still have smaller customers there. But, you know, it depends what the customer wants, too. Does the customer want to have the systems and procedures in place and the accreditations and you know, knowing that they've got some support, or do they just want the cheapest price? And I suppose it really comes down to that customer. But I think from day one, I was always looking for, you know, the large retail chain type organizations, or the large organization had multiple sites across the country. We're one of the very few that has a solid, you know, branch presence in every capital city. You know, obviously Australia is not as big as the States, but you know, we can offer consistent service right across the country, and you know, that's one of the things we sell on, and it works for us.
So, A, thank you for sharing all that. B, I can just hear people emails coming in now going, all right, so this guy's doing millions of dollars in revenue per year. I can't get to that magic million mark. How do you get these people? Is it online? Is it direct mail? Everyone kind of seems to be fascinated with how we get clients. So do you have any feedback for those people that are just starting? Maybe they're only doing a couple hundred thousand a year and they want to get a bunch more clients?
They want to get to that magic million mark, which we all do. We've done everything from letterbox drops. We've done, we spend a lot these days on Google search, AdWords, SEO, SEM, Is that stuff familiar to you guys?
Oh yeah, that's absolutely.
Yeah. So we do a lot of that. We also have we have and I've always had telemarketing. So I've always got the girls in the back office. Just these days they use LinkedIn, which you guys have LinkedIn over there, of course, you've invented it. So they'll search LinkedIn for potential clients, and they'll ring them up, and they'll make appointments for our salespeople. And it's a numbers game. Cleaning sales is a numbers game. So, we know for every 100 phone calls we'll make, we'll get 20 appointments. For every 20 appointments we'll make, we'll get 5 or 6 clients. That's how it works. And it doesn't matter whether you're turning over 70 million or 300,000. It just depends who's going to do the work. So I used to do it. I'd make phone calls. You'd drive around your local area and write down the name of some buildings, ring them, knock on their doors.
So right off the bat, I got to say, if you're saying that you're making 100 phone calls to get 20 appointments, you're doing a fantastic job of either calling the right people or whatever you're doing is working. Can you give us some feedback on what you found works and doesn't work in the telemarketing space?
What works is once again, you've got to do your research. It's no point just randomly calling anyone from a phone book because you don't know whether it's the local gas station or it's the local dentist. In the early days, we would drive around and write down the names of buildings for our telemarketers, we'd call them. These days, as I said, we use LinkedIn because it's a great tool for finding property managers and people who have some sort of responsibility for their cleaning. So it's a matter of the research. And once you've done your research, then call these people. And, that's the sort of numbers we expect. Our salespeople on average close about 35% of what they see.
Okay. Well, and just I love that you said a lot of people out there are saying, man, I can make 100 calls in an hour, but I might not get any bids because they're just like you said, they're just indiscriminate about who they speak with. I'm guessing for your people to make 100 calls takes a lot longer because it might take them hours just to put together the 100 names to talk to, no?
Absolutely. It's typically in one of our branches, we'll have a sales coordinator who will manage the sort of campaigns that we'll be looking at. So we spend a lot of time also targeting specific industries with campaigns. So we just did one recently with aged care, retirement villages, and that's. So we'll do a big advertising focus marketing campaign, emails out, and then our telemarketers will then follow up those sort of contacts and make appointments. Whether it's childcare, car dealerships, that sort of thing is what we do a lot of.
Man, I'm so glad that you said that because I'm constantly encouraging our listeners to niche down, right? Instead of trying, they want to sell everything to everybody. I do residential, I do commercial, I do car dealerships, I do gyms, restaurants, daycare, warehouses, manufacturing, medical, on and on and on. And I say, cut it out. Stop it. You're never going to grow. Be the guy or the gal or the company that just owns daycares in your area. You know more about daycares than anybody else, and you can own that niche. And I love that even at the level that you're at, you still attack it niche by niche as opposed to just shotgun effect.
I think you have to because it's, and you're right. I think the advantage with what you can do over in the States because of the size, because of the population you have over there, is you can specialize. You could be the daycare, professional in your area or the school or the medical or dental. It's quite possible. We really can't do that here. Our market is, 1/13th the size of yours. And we really have to sort of be all things to all people. Having said that, we don't do, we call them pubs. So I don't know, what do you call them, bars?
Yeah, bar, pubs, sure.
Yeah, so we generally don't do pubs. We steer clear of gymnasiums and we don't touch residential because residential is a totally different beast to commercial cleaning. I struggle with people doing both kinds. It's a bit like you said, you know, you should specialize in something. And retail is retail residential is totally different from commercial.
Well, and I like that you said, hey, we're our population isn't such that we can niche. But then you talked about exactly how you niche. So I get that you might have multiple niches, but you don't speak to the people that you don't speak to the property managers in your marketing or sales or face to face the same way that you're going to speak to a business owner, and which is very different than the way you're going to speak to a medical facility. Correct?
Of course, yeah. You got to target your you know, the sort of words you'd use and the sort of campaign that you would use to try to encourage them to consider using AMC.
Perfect. Yeah. So it sounds like you are niching. You're just doing multiple niches at once, which is great when you get to your size. But you don't start with, you know, trying to handle with one employee or five employees six different niches.
No. You're right. We do look for niches and we know what our market is. We very much know that what sort of size buildings we will look after. We're never going to take on a huge university. It's not our scene. We're never going to do a huge airport. It's really not our scene. We're more the medium sized contracts. So we'll do contracts from 20,000 annual turnover up to about $1 million annual turnover. That's our niche.
Gosh, so it sounds like even as big as you are, and even with the understanding that Australia's got less just population than we do, you're still very clear on who you do. You're not looking for the 3,000 square foot once a week. You're not looking for the 5 million square foot university that's got, you know, 100 staff on site. You know exactly who you're looking for. So I love that, not just from a marketing standpoint, from an operations standpoint, it allows you to fulfill that in a way that makes sense, as opposed to just trying to figure everything out all the time and constantly burning bridges.
Well, I think you can spend, you know, you can waste so many resources if you took on as you say, 50,000 square foot, if I'm talking the right sort of numbers, university or something like that. Your resources would be drained away from other contracts that you look after, because it's not something that we do. So you really need to understand, I think, as a smaller cleaning business, where you want to be.
Man, you are preaching to the choir. I love, love, love starting with the end in mind, as opposed to just selling, and then wondering, you know, 2, 3, 5, 10 years later why you haven't gotten anywhere. Okay. Anytime I get someone on the phone that's got the kind of experience that you do, I certainly ask as many questions as I can that I think would be interesting to the audience, but I always end the same way, and that is with a free, open opportunity for you to share anything. Again, we've got people that are just considering started, they haven't even started yet, up to millions of dollars in revenue. Most of them aren't in the position that you are. I'm going to shut up and let you give any advice or value that you think you can give in the time that we've got. Go.
I think if I look back through my journey, it's from what we've spoken about, Mike, it sounds like it's all been, you know, beer and roses. It really hasn't. It's a tough business. Any business that you're successful in is going to have roadblocks along the way. And the one word I reckon that I've always stood by is persistence. Just don't give up. Just keep, if you've got that goal in mind, you go, by the end of this year, I want to be turning over this. You just keep going for it. Don't let anything get in the way. And that's what I've always done. I don't stop. And I probably should, because I'm getting old now. But that's really the one thing I'd say to anyone running any business, especially a cleaning business, just be persistent.
Man, I got to say, when I go on vacation, I'm going to call Steven and ask him to be my guest host, because you say exactly what I'm talking about, but in a much cooler accent, my friend.
Oh, well, you guys have got pretty cool accent. So I wrote a book, too, about my cleaning business and about my sort of, it's an autobiography. So if any of you, I've only got a couple thousand left, but any of your listeners who want to email me their address, I'm happy to send them one for free.
Oh, that's so kind of you. Yeah, what's where can they? Yeah. I'm sure, I know Cleaning Nations, they love free. So, tell me where they can email, and I'll put it on the show notes page for you.
They can email me, which is Stephen.code. So you've got the spelling there, I'm guessing.
Yep, C O A D E. Cleaning Nations. C O A D E.
Yeah, So STEPHEN.CODE at AMC Clean. So it's AMCCLEAN.com.au.
Perfect. And like I said, for all of you guys out there kind of at the gym and living your life that aren't in front of a computer, I will put the email address on the show notes page so you can link to it right from there. Steven, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know the Clean Nation appreciates you. When you want to check out Steven's show notes page with a link to his email so you can get his book and discover everything that you need to grow your cleaning company, you'll find it all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see
you. Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.